Let me make sure this shit's good.
Oh, it wasn't.
All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. I got Dead Penetration here.
What's that?
And we're doing Cartoon Network's entire website has been shut down. The site now redirects to its Max landing page. Warner Brothers Discovery has shut down CartoonNetwork.com, as first spotted by Variety. Those who head to the website now will be met with a redirect to the company's Max streaming. Instead of free clips and episodes of Cartoon Network shows, the page now simply represents the network's Max offerings. A pop-up notification now reminds audiences that they'll need a Max subscription if they want to access their favorite cartoons. Cartoon Network's linear TV side will continue to operate as normal. We're focusing on the Cartoon Network shows and social media where we find consumers are the most engaged and there's a meaningful potential for growth, a spokesperson told Variety. Warner Brothers Discovery gave no prior warning that it would soon shutter the network website, which has served as an outlet for younger viewers and game players for decades. A lot of people play games on there.
Yeah.
However, Gizmodo notes that certain international versions of the site remain active for those who want to experience some of its offerings, though it's unclear if they'll eventually meet the same fate. The shutdown follows news that the company would sunset its throwback show service, Boomerang, on September the 30th. These fundamental shifts in its cartoon offerings arrive as Warner Brothers Discovery reportedly toys with the idea of splitting its business in half. For the last 2 years, the company has also moved to shutter a handful of projects very late in the development, which include DC's live-action Batgirl, Scoob Holiday Haunt, and the infamous Coyote vs. Acme. Jendy Tartakovsky's Fixed may also suffer the same fate after Warner Brothers dropped it from its upcoming slate, although it's now back with Sony to find distribution. Meanwhile, the company's gaming division, Warner Brothers Games, is also looking to streamline costs with a series of shakeups that could see it licensing out franchises like Harry Potter, Game of Thrones, and Batman. Warner Brothers Discovery reported a net loss of $10 billion overall earlier this week. And a lot of that was from that horrible Suicide Squad game.
Oh,
it did
wow.
So bad.
Well, I thought I do want to play it, but I'm going to wait till I get it at, you know, a secondhand gaming store.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. And even then, I'm kind of, you know, I hate how they scripted it. It killed off Batman. I mean,
oh, right.
I always thought the villains were more interesting than Bruce Wayne, but, I mean, you still need Batman for it to be...
Yeah, but also, on that note, also, guys, this means more than ever that you need to download the archive version of these old cartoons. If you want these old cartoons, you need to go to Internet Archive and get them before they're gone. Before, you know, again.
Oh, they're all playing on HBO Max. You can get the, what is it, The Adventures of Flapjack and,
Yeah, but for how long? That's the question.
Oh, as long as...
As long as they're willing to do it, right?
Yeah, as long as people are watching.
You don't know about that. You know, they get rid of shit all the time.
Well, they cycle the movies through just because there's so many.
I know they do.
I don't guess they have the servers to put every movie they ever owned on there at one time, which I think sounds weird.
Right.
I think if you pay for the Warner Brothers catalog, you should get everything.
Yeah, but they don't do that. It's
I know you can
stupid.
Get the Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton's and all that. I love watching those.
Yeah. Well,
Laurel and Hardy, not as big of a fan. Their comedy's a little outdated, I think.
Silent Hill 2 remake producer wants fans to give Bloober Team a chance. Silent Hill 2 remake developer Bloober Team wants fans to give its version of the beloved survival horror game a chance. Game producer Piotr Babiono told Rolling Stone that Bloober Team appreciates fans offering their feedback on Silent Hill 2, which he said has been invaluable in refining our project before its release, but admitted the developers need to ignore some chatter to focus on their creative work with peace of mind. Gameplay has caused some concern. The remake is changing too much from the original and becoming too action-focused. But even Bloober Team itself said a particularly controversial trailer was handled by not it, but publisher Konami, and wasn't in the spirit of what used to be. Addressing worried fans, he said, "I am dreaming that gamers trust us, but I realize that trust is earned through actions, not through words. That's why we have a policy of not commenting on the specifics of the game and raising hopes. We want to show our ambitions through our work, so we can't ask for anything more than give us a chance." It's unclear what's changing, though. Bloober Team has been adamant that the story will remain as it was. "We are focusing on bringing the distinct visceral atmosphere back in the modernized Silent Hill 2. Now, that's the problem. Chief Marketing Officer Anna Jasinska said in January 2023, "Longtime fans shouldn't worry about us missing the point while we're livening up the title." Babiano said there will be some changes fans don't anticipate, but he hopes fans will understand they were made upon playing it for themselves. "We tried to make all possible fans happy, but at the same time be very faithful to ourselves. I really hope that when people play for the first time, they'll understand the choices that we made were the best possible." So, let's see. I want to give it a chance. I trust Bloober. Yeah, no, I was praying for years that the rumors of them getting the remake of Silent Hill 2 wasn't true, and was so disappointed when it turned out they were. This opportunity can be given by others. I'll watch from the sidelines if it's a dumpster fire or not. I mean, they already did some woke shit with the characters. Like, they already made one of the characters look fat and ugly, and it's just not good.
Let the demons get her. Or him.
Let's see if they show, like, there's some of those scenes from the new Silent Hill.
She's eating potato chips. She gave her position away. I'm just assuming it's a she.
I don't know. They didn't show it. Well,
you might not buy it if you see the...
Well, yeah, but people have seen it, so they know what to expect.
Maybe it's in the first frame.
I'm going to say, how about no on this one? And we're not done yet, because this isn't the first time we've had developers and people in entertainment begging us to give things a chance. Because Take-Two CEO has also responded to Borderland movie's terrible reviews, saying, "Give the film a chance." So that's two in the past week where people have been begging us to give their products a chance. So the Borderlands film, that's a problem. When people are begging you to give their work a chance,
I have to be able to rent it, because if it sucks, I don't want to spend all that money.
But Strauss Zelnick says the company will probably continue to be selective about video game films. The Borderlands film, which comes out this week, is getting some not amazing reviews. It's currently sitting at a wildly low 3% on Rotten Tomatoes, and we gave it a 3 out of 10 on IGN. Right now, it's sitting at a 50% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, which means literally it's a meh movie. Like, it's meh.
Well, you gotta understand what kind of Rotten Tomatoes...
I'm talking about the fans.
IMDb.
The audience score.
Now,
let's look, okay.
You know what part of it might be, too, is Jack Black's bandmate.
I don't know. It could be,
if he's backing him up, you know. That's kind of...
Alright, so let's look at IMDb.
How many Republicans and Libertarians...
I know that, but let's see. Where's the score? I don't see a... Okay. 68 critic reviews, 93 user reviews. 4 out of 10, 5 out of 10, 3 out of 10, 1 out of 10, 1 out of 10, 1 out of 10, 6 out of 10, 1 out of 10, 7 out of 10, 4 out of 10, 8 out of 10, 7 out of 10, 1 out of 10, 4, 2, 1, 7, 2, 7, 3, 8, 7, 3, 2, 1.
And the bad thing
five,
was, I was looking forward to
it. 7-5, 7-1, 8, 7-1, 3. You either like it or you don't, but nobody's giving it a fucking 10.
Yeah.
Even this person gave it a 7, and they said that they even bothered playing the games. 1-7-7-1-3-10. That's one person. 1-1-4-3-3-5-10.
You gotta think, what is the audience that they had come see it? People that probably have never even seen the game, much less played it.
5.
One of my other buddies that goes with us to see movies.
8.
He's like, what the hell's Borderlands? I'm like, what? You don't know that video game? He's like, it's a video game?
3, 4, 5, 4, 3, 2, 4, 5, 1, 2, 4, 5, 1, 1, 4, 3, 1, 4, 3, 2. Man,
I still 1, 1, 4, nothing. Oh, my favorite books
8,
have pictures.
1, 1, 10, 4, 8, 1, 5, 5, 6, 3, 7, 3.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, there's a bunch of them.
That's a mess.
But there's a lot of ones. There's
not
a lot
very
of.
Many tens.
Show all the one stars. There's all the one star. See how many goes? There's a lot of one star, ain't there? Shit.
How many sevens? It sounded like I heard seven several times.
Okay.
More?
Nah, not that many.
About the same amount.
No.
Somewhere.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So now you want to look at the ones again? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25.
You scrolled through it very quickly because it looked about the same.
I know.
Maybe fives. I think I heard some threes and fives.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10. 5.
So, 5 and above, I would give okay.
So, it's an okay. So, basically, guys, it's an okay movie.
It's an okay.
I'm not going to use my money to go see an okay movie.
I bet they came out of Deadpool and Wolverine. They're like, hey, right. Would you like to see a movie that's not come out yet? And they're like, sure. Well, fuck. Deadpool and Wolverine's going to be hard to beat for a while because that was so
damn.
Well put together.
It went. It was worse than last night. 10, 7, 1, 5, 1, 6, 2, 3, 0, 3, 0, 0, 7, 0, 0.
I didn't even hear 0 in the last time.
6, 0, 0, 0. Damn!
If they were dollar signs. That's how much they were leasing.
Yep. Terrible casting. Confusedly picked characters from the first three games. PG-13 rating, 10 years too late. A complete insult to the franchise. No respect to the source material and clearly not focus tested. This is the modern equivalent of the live-action Mario movie. It's boring and unbelievably bad. Don't waste money on
this
film.
That is funny. I mean,
and I liked the fucking Mario movie.
I liked
movie.
It, but it had nothing to do with
Mario.
That was like, I remember, and I think I was like 6 or 7. Yeah, I was around 7 when, because Batman came out around the same time as the Ninja Turtles did. So the first Batman, first that. Well, I remember all my friends talk about Krang's in there, and he's got the suit, and I was like, ooh, how are they going to do that? Because at the time, you know, just the idea of the technology for them to do a robot suit blew your mind as a kid, because you never seen it in movies very much. I mean, you got Terminator, and that you know how that the first one looked compared to the others.
Yeah.
But...
It's still a good film, though.
It's still a good film, yeah. But that was like their thing was the source material, you know. Oh, it's going to have this and that. It'd be like that, except it had only two of the Ninja Turtles in it or something,
right,
probably.
Right.
What? Borderlands only got two of the...
Well, see, they are doing a live act. They are doing a new, like, Ninja Turtle. They're doing that last Ronin movie, which is going to actually...
Oh, that would
be
good.
That's going to be good. All right, so Borderlands...
Well, that's only going to
have
the
franchise.
One turtle in it.
It's, yeah, all the others died.
Probably the flashbacks.
Borderlands, the franchise, is created and owned by Gearbox, which was itself just acquired by Take-Two. And Take-Two, through its 2K label, is one of the many companies producing the film, along with Gearbox. So when I chatted with Take-Two CEO Strauss Zelnick today, ahead of the company's Q1 earnings call, I asked him about the critical reception. Will the film's success or failure impact Take-Two in any meaningful way? The answer for Zelnick is no. Financially, this film won't make a dent. But he also urged to give the film a chance despite the negative critical reception.
Here's another someone asking, give it a chance.
Let's give the film a chance. A lot of people worked really hard on it. The underlying intellectual property is phenomenal. Yeah. The cast is amazing, and I think the look and feel is really terrific. So let's see what audiences have to say. But to answer your question, no, the performance of the film wouldn't have a financial impact on us, or the franchise, one way or the other.
So what if they...
Oh, so, hey, it wouldn't have a financial impact on them or the franchise, one way or the other. So whether you see this movie or you don't see this movie, they literally don't give a shit because it doesn't affect them in any way.
Oh, right.
They made this shit because they knew it wouldn't hurt them.
Yeah.
I went on to ask Zelnick about his opinion on video game films.
I know you may not be into gay porn, but give it a chance. Just give us a chance. Like, no, sorry.
I went on to ask Zelnick about his opinion on video game films in general, a subject he's spoken about often. He reiterated his answer from the past, which seems not to have changed. Take-Two is really selective about what games it turns into films. And he says that the company doesn't want its imprint on anything unless it's superb. Like Duke Nukem! However, he adds that the economic impact of licensing a game IP into a movie is small, so there's really no reason to do it unless the creative teams involved are really excited. It's not really core to us, he said, to make films out of games, and he added that he expects the publisher will probably maintain its approach to only doing so selectively in the foreseeable future. Notably, Take-Two is involved in one other in-progress film, a BioShock film, which they already dropped the main character. The film has been in various developmental stages for over a decade, with Netflix jumping on board, and they just dropped the main character. Most recently, we learned that the leadership changes in Netflix film department resulted in a reduced budget, which is still in the works, but is apparently being reconfigured. It's unclear when or if it will ever see the light of day. It doesn't need to see the light of day. And its earnings, Take-Two reported total Q1 net bookings of $1.22 billion and projected net bookings of $1.4 and $1.47. I don't really care on that. The performance of the film wouldn't have a financial impact on us or the franchise one way or the other. Well, that's a relief. I feel much better about waiting to potentially see it on a streaming service. You won't benefit at all from us giving it a chance. I might just pirate the film, be better off. If the producers don't profit directly from a lot of people eventually streaming it, at the very least it may result in the streaming service encouraging them to make more movies like this one. Either way, we lose. It's a damn shame, too. Borderlands would make a cool movie. I'm thinking if they do something like Arcane, leave it the fuck alone. Give it a week and it'll be up on YouTube. It'll probably be there by Monday. Why, as a consumer, should I give it a chance when you give absolutely no care about the movie? You have the most miscast cast in the history of cinema. It's not just one member's miscast. Everyone is. You insult me by having Avi Arad produce it.
They were all popular in their respective genres of film, but it just didn't. Oh, I even thought that seemed a little off the people they put together. I guess besides Jack Black and Kevin Hart, because they've already done Jumanji together.
Right.
I mean, that turned out good. But, yeah. I don't know who the girl with the bunny ears is in real life or what else she's been in. She may be a new...
So, anyway, Take-Two bought Gearbox, and I have no idea what that's going to have for the future of the Duke Nukem franchise. But Randy Pitchford is begging people to go see it.
Oh, well,
he
got a bag, it must not be that good.
No, no. I mean, Randy Pitchford's holding those Duke rights. If that, when that man passes, when that man passes, it will be the greatest thing for Duke Nukem fans, because then finally they'll be able to do something with the Duke Nukem rights. So let's just pray he eats some more fucking Cheetos or something. Anyway, let's go on to the next article.
That'll be a problem.
No, not for that guy. Not for that guy.
He must love Cheetos.
He might love Cheetos.
It's like, what's his name? Wrote Game of Thrones. He looked like one.
Oh, no. He was.
Puff away.
No, he literally.
George R. Martin.
Yeah, he loves snack food. That's one thing that's big about him. Oh, so by the way, there's more about Borderlands. Now, here's where the shitty stuff happens. Borderlands film goes from disaster to farce as the guy who rigged Claptrap says neither he nor the model artist are credited. I worked on him for 5 consecutive months. He basically says the reception of the Borderlands movie has me almost nostalgic, reminiscing about the days when video game tie-ins were reliably terrible rather than half-decent. The short version is that people hate it. The longer version is that they really, really hate it. Words such as lifeless, obnoxious, and baffling hover around it. And the only good news is that a single positive review has lifted the film's Rotten Tomatoes score from 0 to 3. So it's a bit of a mess. But things have now gone from bad to worse. It turns out that the film has even failed to credit key production staff behind one of Borderlands' main characters. Robbie Reed, who goes by the helpful handle Robbie Reed the Rigger, says he worked on rigging the movie's Claptrap for 5 months straight.
You know what they said? Rigger sounds too much like...
Ah, come on now. The process which essentially gives a CG model a skeleton that animators can then manipulate.
Might be rigger on rigger crime.
It's obvious. A crucial job. And when it comes to Claptrap, we're talking about arguably Borderlands' most recognizable figure. This time 3 years ago, I was rigging the CG asset of Claptrap for the Borderlands movie, said Reed on X. I worked on him for 5 consecutive months. Neither I nor the artist, that might be true, but we don't know. The artist who modeled him, who I worked with the entire time, got a credit for the film. Reed goes on to say that this is the first time such a thing has happened to him, so he's exceptionally lucky. But nevertheless, it just stings that the one to finally break the streak was the last film I worked on at a studio. And for such a significant character, too. According to the IMDb list of all cast and crew, Borderlands credits 8 riggers from various disciplines.
8 of them.
A electrical visual effects and stunts, but Reed's name isn't among them.
Football team makes. Don't take a knee. No.
The Claptrap model that Reed worked on appears to be the one used in the final movie, and Reed speculates the omission may just be because he and the artist left their former studio in 2021, and it took the film this long to come out. In response to someone trying to pin the blame on Randy Pitchford, Reed stresses this is a common problem in the industry, definitely not the fault of any singular person, and would be wrong to suggest this. The Borderlands movie is an act, well, we know that. Okay, so this is weird. The Borderlands movie is an action comedy with a stacked cast. Jack Black, Kevin Hart, Ariana Greenblatt, Jamie Lee Curtis, Florian Montero,
Ariana Greenblatt.
Whatever. Green Block.
No, I don't know. I'm
Florian Montel and Kate Blanchett, among others. Not that it seems to have helped, with Blanchett even saying she took the role thanks to a touch of COVID madness after doing nothing but gardening. Naturally, PC Gamer is on it and today sent hearty volunteer Joshua Woolens to watch the thing. Pop back tomorrow to find out if it really is a load of old Claptrap. And yes, it is. It's fucking terrible. So,
let's see what we got here.
It's bad.
Tiny Tina's the one with the rabbit ears, right?
Yeah, and that's not even in the movie.
I was wondering what... No, she's in it. She's the main character.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to figure out who she is. She was in Barbie. She was in 65. BC or whatever it is. Or what was that? 65 billion years ago? Or
I watched that.
Name?
Was okay.
Yeah.
That was okay, but it was never going to be a... You know, I haven't... You know what's sad? I haven't heard anything else from him. He hasn't made anything else
in a
while.
Well, I mean, he can afford to take a break for a moment.
I don't know.
He was putting out a buttload of movies for a second there. I'm sure he made enough money he could take a long vacation if he so...
Well, you gotta understand, that guy has a hell of a story. He was a Marine that suffered PTSD so bad that he was in... They found him in the fucking park in New York. Just freaking out because his survival shit.
Boss Baby Family.
Okay.
She was in Infinity War. I think she's one of Hawkeye's daughters or something in it.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I'm trying to see what all.
Well, on to politics. The author of the viral joke post about J.D. Vance having sex with a couch breaks his silence.
Man. He's going to be a good threat against that other... Waltz,
I know. I heard about the horse semen.
I ain't heard that one.
Okay, we'll look that up. We'll look that up after we get through with the couch. We'll do the couch, then we'll do the horse semen, then we'll end the show, probably. The American electorate is fully in the grip of couch discourse. On July 15th, shortly after former President Donald Trump announced Senator J.D. Vance will be joining his ticket, the ex-user Rick Rude Scowls posted a joke. Can't say for sure, but he might be the first VP pick to have admitted in a New York Times bestseller to fucking an inside-out latex glove shoved between two couch cushions. Vance, Hillbilly Elegy, pages 179 to 181. Needless to say, pages 179 through 181 of Hillbilly Elegy are not devoted to an account of Vance's couch surfing, and there's no evidence that he's ever done anything to a couch other than sit on one. Still, a lot of people found it funny.
The same thing happened with Trump and the Russian prostitutes and pissing and all that.
Well, okay.
And that was brought up by FBI that was telling a joke, and it became fact in their eyes.
Rick Rude hit the post within a week of publishing it, but the couch joke had already left an impression. Over the past week, for every seven people searching Google for J.D. Vance, one person searched for J.D. Vance couch, according to Google Trends. Memes of Vance fantasizing about living room furnishings have flooded the internet. Despite being very obviously a joke, the post was debunked in two fact checks by mainstream media outlets, one by Snopes and the other by the AP, which later deleted the fact check from its website. Wow. Foreseeably and perversely, those debunkings propelled couch discourse into the mainstream. The rumor's spread has also heralded a new style of online engagement from Democrats. In marked contrast to the Obama-era decorum of when they go low, we go high, Vice President Kamala Harris' campaign embraced a tongue-in-cheek tone, including writing on X, J.D. Vance does not couch his hatred for women.
Did you see at the Democratic convention, Kamala Harris gave a speech and she said, prices are too high. Things are... The border's out of control. We're the only ones that can stop it. Shit. She's had 4 years and she ain't done shit. She was at...
Right.
Biden put her in charge of the border and look what happened.
Yep. So...
And prices are too high because of them.
Now, Tim Walz says he'll debate...
Fucks.
Tim Walz says he'll debate J.D. Vance if he's willing to get off the couch. Couch discourse even made it to TV. Where does someone even get an idea like that?
The late show host, at the Democratic convention.
Stephen Colbert asked last week. At a grocery store, the author of the post told Business Insider in a phone conversation this weekend, he said that the idea had struck him while he was shopping the day Vance was announced as Trump's running mate. B.I. tracked down the post's author, who we'll call Rick, in keeping with his former screen name. He changed his ex-screen name to protect his account last week because he was uncomfortable with the amount of attention the post generated. Yes, not to be named because he's not authorized by his employer to speak with the media, but B.I. has confirmed his identity. Rick doesn't work in politics. He's got a desk job. He's on the political left and said he viewed Vance from a place of irrelevance, if not outright disrespect. In part because he shares an upbringing not dissimilar to the hard-knock childhood Vance describes in Hillbilly Elegy. The political conclusions he drew from those experiences, though, differ markedly from Vance's, he said. The fact that so many people across the political spectrum appeared to believe his post to be true hasn't bolstered his faith in the critical thinking skills of the electorate, he said. Though he accepts the blame for the misapprehension, that the misapprehension starts with him. In terms of media literacy and those kinds of things, I guess I was already in the mud rolling around, he said. He's mildly concerned that he's now viewed as peddling election misinformation, which he said was not his intent. He posted what he posted, he added, because he sees in Vance an ineffable quality he believes is best approximated with the moniker Couch Fucker. I have really enjoyed thinking about his team and all the idiots associated with him having to grapple with this, he said. I think by the time the AP thing came out, I was talking to one of my sisters and saying, oh yeah, Trump is already calling him a couch fucker. Rick is not the first person to post an absurd joke that ended up roiling political circles after flying over too many heads. In 2016, a Twitter user posted that they love working the post office in Columbus, Ohio, and ripping up absentee ballots that vote for Trump. The Gateway pundit Rush Limbaugh gave the post credulous coverage, eliciting a statement from the U.S. Postal Service and eventually an FBI investigation. The
thing was, that shit was going on.
I know.
That you should be like, oh, someone saying, oh, I can't wait to shoot up so-and-so place.
Right. Well,
and something like that had happened the week before.
Perhaps, Rick said, whether Vance had carnal knowledge of one or more couches is immaterial. Rick suggested Vance making love to a couch may be best viewed as what Werner Herzog has described as the ecstatic truth. In Herzog's words, a kind of truth that is the enemy of the merely factual, encompassing falsehoods, that makes some essence of man visible. As for his decision to include a fake citation in a post about a man having sex with a couch, Rick claims highbrow inspiration. Not to get it up, he said, but he was an English major, and I do have certain literary tastes. Listing page numbers was in the vein of authors Jorge Luis Borges and John Fowles, who use excerpts of citations real and invented to lend an air of authenticity to their fiction. It's something I found funny my entire life, he said. He said he was also inspired by an anecdote about former President Lyndon Johnson, who apocryphally asked a campaign manager to invent a rumor that one of Johnson's political opponents liked having sex with pigs. Christ, we can't get away with calling him a pig fucker, the campaign manager responded. The journalist Hunter Thompson recounted in Fear and Loathing on the campaign trail 72. Nobody's going to believe a thing like that. I know, Johnson replied, but let's make the son of a bitch deny it. So far, as the comedian John Oliver noted gleefully in a Last Week Tonight segment Sunday, Vance has chosen not to deny it. A spokesperson for Vance did not respond to a request for comment, because of course they didn't.
Because it's ludicrous. But, you know, so Waltz called that out, Democrat convention, all this, and so J.B. Vance was giving a speech. I can't remember where he was at, but it was the other day. And someone had brought up about Trump at the National Black Convention or whatever it was, and was asking what about, you know, because he had biracial kids and his wife's Indian, about how he felt about Trump's statements of her. He said, no, he wasn't saying she was one or the other. She's a chameleon. She is whatever she thinks the public wants her to be at the time, whether that be all the way black or all the way Indian. She's just a compulsive liar. Same with Waltz. He's been saying he's been this military rank and he went to war and he dropped out when his unit got sent to war. You know, so he never even went to war, but he's claiming all this stolen valor about his rank and his...
That's an AI image.
But anyway, he had called him out, and he's a true communist. He wants, you know, not equality, equity, I believe.
Equity is what they're calling it.
Yeah, which is means, oh, you're black, give them the job.
Yep, that's it.
Oh, you're... I don't know. They ain't giving Asians any breaks because they already do too good on the test.
All right. So, here's the Wall's horse semen story. 8th century Chinese ritual. Did Minnesota Governor Tim Walz drink horse semen? Some Republicans are claiming he did. In recent years, some people in Minnesota have started drinking horse semen, a trend that began in New Zealand. That's an AI image. Historical accounts suggest that certain cultures have used horse semen for medicinal or ritualistic purposes. For example, some traditional Chinese medicine practices involved consuming horse semen for their supposed health benefits.
That's how you get minotaurs.
According to reports, after ingesting horse semen, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz was treated at Hennepin Healthcare Hospital, where doctors performed gastric lavage and provided supportive care to clean his stomach. The semen that Tim Walz might have ingested is often flavored to improve its taste and is marketed as having health benefits such as increased energy.
He said it doesn't taste like regular guy semen. It's horse semen.
It is popular among young adults who seek unusual experiences and wish to share them on social media. However, the supposed health benefits aren't backed by science, and drinking unpasteurized animal products can be risky due to potential contamination. The trend raises concerns about animal treatment and ethics.
Drinking Believe me, the horses aren't complaining. You want to do what to me to get my seed?
Drinking horse semen involves consuming a liquid rich in proteins, vitamins, and minerals. However, there's no scientific evidence that it offers the claimed health benefits, such as increased energy or improved athletic performance. The primary risk of people like Tim Walz consuming horse semen is that it comes from potential contamination with harmful bacteria or viruses, which can lead to foodborne illnesses, especially if the semen is unpasteurized.
It might mix in with all the other semen he's been drinking lately.
Additionally, the body may react poorly to consuming such a novelty product, leading to digestive issues like nausea. Overall, consuming horse semen is not advisable. Due to these health risks and lack of proven benefits, guys, we do not condone drinking horse semen. Yeah, we've had a lot of really fucked up things on this channel.
When have we ever condoned drinking any semen unless I'm trying to tell a prom date it's good for your skin?
Nutrition and horse semen. Horse semen is not typically consumed as food, and there isn't substantial research on its nutritional content or health benefits.
Who looks like an inside-out Twinkie?
It is primarily used for reproductive purposes and equine breeding. However,
the Cinnabons.
Many people believing that consuming it will enhance their sexual drive and also make them younger. Some say there exist few in New Zealand who are over 200 years old by adding horse semen to their diet. Important notice, the content in this article has been sourced from various social media accounts and information submitted by anonymous sources. We are not liable for any inaccuracies. So there you go.
You know he loves it. He chugs it like a gutter slut.
Is that what's going on? Did Tim Walz drink this horse semen? Well, that's what we're trying to figure out. Not if it's healthy.
He didn't just drink it. He chugged it. Yeah. He had all his frat brothers around him. Chug, chug, chug. He said he likes it best straight from the tap.
A false rumor alleging Minnesota Governor Tim Walz consumed horse semen and was hospitalized has spread among supporters of former President Donald Trump.
Look at that happy,
the
relaxed
rumor
pig.
Originated.
You know what? It was all pimped up and anxious before he got to the seed.
From a pro-Trump subreddit, it was fueled by extreme disinformation and edited visuals. There's no evidence to support the claim. It appears to be a retaliatory attempt to discredit Walz after he joked about the Ohio Senator J.D. Vance.
That pig said, boy, he's got the hands of a back alley whore.
The allegation started when Walz joked about Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, Trump's running mate, at a Temple University address in Philadelphia. Walz's comment, referencing an online joke about Vance, included the remark that he looked forward to debating Vance if he's willing to get off the couch. Conservatives were offended by the Vance joke on the internet because they felt it was inflammatory. In retaliation, some Trump backers spread a false report alleging that Walz had consumed a gallon of horse semen and was admitted to the hospital. The original posting that made this untrue assertion went viral on a pro-Trump subreddit. A fictitious screenshot of an Associated Press fact check was included in the piece. Thereafter, the rumor expanded to a number of social media sites where individuals persisted in spreading the untrue story in an effort to harm Walz's image. Extreme and graphic misinformation was used in the rumor's dissemination. Few people on social media misinterpreted the statement and assumed Walz had slept with a horse. The bogus story was also widely disseminated.
Even the horse said no thank you.
By right-wing media sites like Newsmax, with some of their pieces characterizing it harshly. The story about Tim Walz and a horse is beyond repulsive. No words. Truly a sick man. The notion was further disseminated by edited photos and memes. Some individuals shared doctored pictures of Walz with disparaging remarks that suggested he was drinking horse semen. Even when it's graphic content, it became popular in certain right-wing groups.
Hey, your goatee's as white as snow. Well, you know how I get it.
It's still unclear
the donuts.
If Vance or Trump will speak out about the rumor and turn it against Harris and Walz later on. But it is clear that Tim Walz suggesting horse semen is a petty online rumor. There's no truth or evidence behind this claim. The rumor's chances of becoming viral seem slim considering...
Mr. Walz, what's on your face? You gotta pay extra for that. How
unpleasant an exit. Explicit it is in comparison to the sofa joke about Vance, which is very harmless. No! Both of them are fucking harmful.
It's calling on degeneracy. But I believe the Walz story way more than I do the couch fucking story.
So, Larian has revealed the Baldur's Gate romance stats, including those who chose the house in human form and who picked the bear. Now, we're not going to talk too much about this because there are some spoilers for Baldur's Gate 3 here. And by the way, IGN didn't bother to say, hey, there's spoilers. But basically, we know that everyone's favorite dog, Scratch, was pet 120 million times. The Owlbear Cub and His Majesty the Cat received only 41 million and 141,660 pet attempts, respectively. So...
Oh, on that game who fucked the bear.
Well, there's more than that. Larian's posts include a nice selection of romance-related figures. Baldur's Gate 3 companions have been kissed more than 75 million times in total, with Shadowheart leading the pack at whopping 27 million kisses. She is clearly your waifu. Folks, a lot of you have banged Shadowheart. Astarion is surprisingly in second at 15 million smooches, with poor Minthara and last with 169,937. We'll have to see what she looks like. We also have a look at some stats about Halsin, Larian's infamous druid character. Of the 658,000 players who had sex with Halsin, 70% chose to sleep with him in his human form, while the other 30% chose the grizzly bear. In all of Baldur's Gate 3, Astarion proved to be the most played as Origin, being at 1.21 million characters created with him to start. That's a lot of high elf rogues running around, but Larian does clarify that 93% of players did choose to create their own character when beginning an adventure, as I would. I'd probably play a guy called Grimm. Meanwhile, while 141,660 players managed to complete honor mode, that's a really tough mode in the game, a staggering 1.2 million playthroughs ended in a loss.
To rape the bear gets
No. This is Baldur's Gate 3. This is a massive game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it plays with real Baldur's Gate, like, rules. Like, official Dungeons & Dragons rules.
Okay.
So it's very strict. As for some of the more important story moments achievable in Baldur's Gate, 3.3 million users managed to kill the blank, while another 1.8 million choose to betray the blank. Interestingly, only 34 players who chose blank as their origin character and also choose to blank at the blank at the blank. That's a lot of spoilers.
Blank at the blank?
Yeah,
the blank.
That's blank. Baldur's Gate is a game of near infinite possibilities, and that's one of the biggest reasons players fell in love with it last summer. Despite so much to offer at launch, Larian has continued to deliver more content and post-launch updates. And they might be adding Alphira as a new companion with patch 7. So I still don't have the game because I don't have the money for it, but when it eventually goes down to when I can afford it, I'll buy it. But yeah, it is a massive game, way over 100 gigs. Yeah. So, and it's probably going to be larger with the new patch. But it is a CRPG, so it requires a lot of work, and there are some people that just got absolutely obsessed with it. And it is a true sequel to Baldur's Gate, which is surprising, because remember, the original Baldur's Gate came out in like the late 90s. So people were like, oh, this is going to be a real Baldur's Gate 3? And people were skeptical at first. They weren't sure that this was going to be an actual Baldur's Gate game. And then it was. And people were like, oh my god, this is what I've been waiting for 20 years. So yeah, it became the game of the year. Did you know that? Baldur's Gate 3 is the game of the year for 2023? Yes. It is a great, great game. So alright, guys. Let's see. I think we've got room for one more, and that's it. We've got room for one more. Okay, yeah. So we're going to end with our Power Rangers thing. How will the end of Boom Studios' Power Rangers saga impact the franchise? Remember we were talking about that Boom still had the rights to the franchise of the comics?
Said nobody would.
Well, hold on. The following contains spoilers for Power Rangers' Darkest Hour. I don't care. The Power Rangers franchise has been home to some of the most iconic color-coded heroes since it was burst onto the scene more than 30 years ago. Yet for the first time ever, fans have been left with no new Power Rangers media to look forward to. Not only has the original series come to a close with the final episodes of Cosmic Fury, but the plans for Netflix's own take on the franchise have also been laid to rest. And with the release of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Darkest Hour, number one, Boom Studios' 8-year-long comic book epic has also reached its finale. So they are ending it in Boom as well now, guys. As such, there's nothing left for fans of the franchise to speculate about or anticipate the release. Okay, so Power Rangers fans, you're gonna be fine. Here's what I want you to do. First thing I want you to do is go to Tokushoutsu on YouTube and look up Zyuranger, Z-Y-U-R-A-N-G-R. And that is the original Japanese Power Rangers. It's the Japanese version. You'll look at it. And then if you choose to go backwards into Jetman and all the others, you may really get into it. And then, of course, you could go forward. You could go forward into Die Ranger. You can go into Car Ranger. There's so many different ones. And remember, these are going to be a little more adult than you're used to. But I assume you're adults now. I assume you're not kids watching this by now. Hopefully so you're not looking for an adult story. And I have some other suggestions. Kamen Rider, go into Kamen Rider. There's so many Kamen Riders. The one they're doing right now is horse shit. Ignore it. But there's so many great Kamen Riders. Look up Kamen Rider Black. You'll love it. And then, of course, there's also Garo. If you're looking for, hey, I'm a grown man now. I want some fucking sex and violence and all in my Ranger show. Garo will give you that. Garo is literally tokusatsu for adults. It's got adult themes, trust me, I've seen a few episodes. It's much different. Oh, and there's also some Garo anime, so if you want to get into that. By the way, there's also some Ranger anime. There's like two, and there's also like the bad or the evil Rangers. I was supposed to get that, but I never did. Anyway, there's plenty of Ranger stuff. Just because Power Rangers has completely finally ended after 30 fucking years doesn't mean that your Ranger or your Tokusatsu stuff has to end. You can go through all the Japanese stuff and be dead and still have more of it to go. Like, you can die watching it. That's how much there is. And you'll be like, wow, where has this been all my life? Well, you've been watching Power Rangers.
Well,
that might
deadly. That
might be your problem. You've been watching Power Rangers. Nothing against Power Rangers. I like Power Rangers, but when I discovered Toku, I was like, wow, dude. Like, I like the Power Rangers, but I really like my Toku stuff more. Mm-hmm. So anyway, as such, there's nothing left for fans. At the same time, Boom Studios' Power Rangers run introduced numerous concepts and characters that are too iconic or infamous for future franchise iterations to ignore. However, understanding why requires exploring the actual impact that each of them had on the wider Power Rangers mythos. So remember, you had Lord Drakkon and Shattered Grid. We won't be reading about that because that'll spoil me. And then you had Necessary Evil, which did expanded Power Rangers universe. They brought in new Rangers from different series. The Terrian War rewrote multiple Power Rangers icons' origins for the better. And then original Power Rangers characters are too good to let go. Remember those? Those are pretty good. So there's a lot of neat stuff. But remember, this is all fan fiction, and Japan still wants to know why we love Z-Rangers so much. Because again, you gotta understand, they didn't have Z-Rangers. They had a different thing every fucking year. They still got it. They've got the fucking Boom Boom Girl, which has the really bullshit looking helmets. And oh yeah, let me show you how bad fucking Kamen Rider looks right now. I just want you guys to see how bad the new Kamen Rider. Let's look at how bad this new Kamen Rider looks. He looks fucking awful. No, that's black. That's cool. That's awesome. That's good stuff. Kamen Rider Gotchard. Gotchard. That's it. Look at this bullshit.
I'm looking.
That, I don't like it.
I don't like it.
It looks...
It kind of looked like Blue Beetle a little bit.
No, well... Kamen Rider was there before.
It looks more like...
This is the new one. It's literally based on fucking cards. It's like Yu-Gi-Oh! With Kamen Rider. It's the dumbest shit ever. We went from Kamen Rider Black, which is awesome and badass, to, look, Mass Rider. Of course we called him Mass Rider, but yeah, look, fucking awesome Mass Rider Black, which is a really good series. It even opens up fucking cool. To that crap. Ugh. I get it, Japan. You want to be flashy and fun, and yes, these are for kids. Let me be honest, they are for kids.
Well, there you go.
But the stuff that was in the 90s was pretty fucking badass. Let's just be honest. All right. So, with that, we will see you guys next time on the Grim Articles show with more stuff. I don't even think I'm doing a supplemental. I've got a show with Empress, not tomorrow. I've got a show with Empress on Sunday. We're going to talk about a lot of shit that I may have touched upon in the stuff I didn't know. Well, I uploaded it, but I haven't edited it. Yeah, you guys haven't seen it yet, but you will. You'll see everything at once. I know, it's not supposed to be that way. It just ended up that way. But yeah, my black pill shit that I'm going to be talking about, I'm just completely debunking that black pill bullshit that I'm just ready to throw out the fucking... Ready to take some of these guys and beat the shit out of them because they're just so fucking stupid. They're just... No, it's stupid. It's really stupid. I'm seeing this behavior in real life on the internet. Well, I'm seeing it on the internet.
Real life on the internet.
You know what I mean.
Oh yeah.
I'm seeing this behavior on the internet from real life people, and I'm like, okay, this is absolutely ridiculous. And I want to meet some of these guys. I do. I want to meet some of these guys. I want to say, okay, what's your problem? You know, because it doesn't make any fucking sense to me. But alright, at any rate, guys, this is the Grimlord, and we will see you next time on the Grim Articles show with more fucking articles. Stay tuned.
Later.
And join in a climb.